Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanksgiving Eve, we celebrate. We give thanks. You've told me what you're thankful for. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about another injury. Nothing to be thankful for there. And we'll preview tonight's matchup with the Sixers. Trust the process. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanksgiving Eve. I am Peter Edmiston. This is Locked On Grizzlies. I hope you're doing well, and I hope all your preparations for Thanksgiving are going splendidly. I can tell you that mine are. I've got my turkey currently brining as I tape this. And let me just say, before we even get into all this stuff, we're going to talk about the latest injury for the Grizzlies. Not great. We're going to talk about the Sixers game. We're going to get into all kinds of stuff that you guys, we had little interactions on social media. I asked you guys some questions. You gave me some great answers. So we'll get to all that coming up. But the most important thing right now, as you listen to this, there's probably still time. Brine your turkeys, people. I can't tell you how many times people have complained and said, well, I just don't like turkey. I don't think it's very good. Well, you haven't had good turkey then. However you prepare your turkey, whether you smoke it, whether you deep fry it, whether you just traditional bake, you know, whether you do my thing where I butterfly it and then I do a high temperature roast it to get crispy skin, and whatever you do, just brine your turkey beforehand, a little salt, a little sugar, little mix, put it in there. It makes it so much more moist, makes it cook faster. It's just a whole, there's just, the benefits do not end. So please, I beseech you, do not let the scourge of dry turkey continue another year. We can change the world, ladies and gentlemen. So let's do it. Coming up, as I mentioned, all kinds of great stuff on Locked On Grizzlies, but we start with the sounder. I didn't want to pull out earlier in the week, and I had to. And now, damn it, I got to pull it out again. Injury news.
Injury news.
You know how much it costs to have production work like that? Top quality production work like you just heard? Outrageous prices. And I was hoping I wouldn't have to use it anymore this year, but here we go. Second time in a week. This time it is James Ennis who is hit by the Grizzlies injury bug. Injuries befall you if you are a Grizzly. That is just the nature of it. Fate has determined that there can only be so many healthy Grizzlies. And once that number is hit, then somebody else is going to have to get hurt. And it was James Ennis, unfortunately, who suffered a calf strain in the first half of the Grizzlies. Really a virtuoso first half performance against the Hornets on Monday. But it did not come without a price. And James Ennis has been diagnosed with a grade 2 calf strain. And that grade is important because it does differentiate in the level of severity, and it also gives you a clue as to the rehab and how long things are going to take and all of that. If you kind of glance around at what grade 2 calf strains typically kind of what the norm is for the rehab and the recovery and all that stuff, then it's another one that is a little more serious. You typically will see he is listed by the Grizzlies as being reevaluated in 2 weeks, very much like Chandler Parsons. But much like Parsons, that does not necessarily mean he's coming back after 2 weeks. It could mean that it could be a while. These strains, they tend to be a little more serious than the grade ones. They involve, you know, not like a tear or anything like that, but you're not far off from a tear when you get to a grade two. So you have to be very careful. And the calf in particular is so tricky because for a basketball player, so much of what you do really relies on the calf. It's not exactly the same thing with Brandon Wright. I mean, his is a tendon injury, but it's a tendon that connects the calf to the foot bones. And it's the same kind of problem with him is that, you know, your calf is so intimately involved when you're jumping, when you're running, turning, all that stuff. you know, the calf's big. It's big in basketball. So, you know, when you have an injury that affects that, then it's hard to recover from. So hopefully James Ennis will be able to do that faster than expected. And hopefully in 2 weeks he'll actually be able to come back. But I would guess, based on just kind of looking at other case studies that are out there, you're talking probably closer to 3 to 6 weeks for Ennis to be out, which is a shame. Because, you know, he was playing so well. Both sides of the floor really given a lot to this Grizzly team. And so just when things really start to click, you lose a guy that was part of the rotation, and that rotation was shrinking anyway. So now what will David Fizdale do? That is an interesting question. You know, where do those minutes go? Wade Baldwin was not called back up. Some thought that maybe Baldwin would be called back up because you've lost a guy and you want to, you know, replenish the rotation, but he has not yet at least been called back up. Now, he could fly because the Iowa Energy played last night in Westchester, New York. So it would be very simple for him to get to Philadelphia for the game tonight, should they so choose. If they want to call him back up and maybe do a little, you know, up and back kind of thing, they could do that pretty easily too. Also, for the record, Baldwin with a relatively unspectacular but solid debut for the Energy in their loss to the Westchester Knicks. He had 15 points. He had no rebounds. He had one assist. He had a couple steals. He had 3 turnovers, 7 of 9 from the field. So that was okay. Not a bad effort from Wade Baldwin, but he didn't exactly light the world on fire either. I don't think that's going to be the option anyway, no matter how you look at it. I think those minutes will probably end up getting switched off between Jarrell Martin and Troy Williams based on matchups on a given night or based on how a guy's playing. But I really think that you're going to see Fizdale kind of even tighten the rotation further. He's really found a group of mostly 8 guys, but there's a 9th and a 10th occasionally, depending on the night. You know, a guy like Deontay Davis can sneak in there, Jarrell Martin, Troy Williams. There's some guys that have seen some time, but it's pretty much that top 8 guys. Well, I think it's going to pretty much be that top 7 guys, and you'll see a few extra minutes probably for the likes of Vince Carter in this. You'll probably see a little, maybe you squeeze in an extra minute or two out of Mike Conley. Andrew Harrison will probably have to see a little more time. And then I think that extra 10 to 15 minutes that's remaining, you'll see that be divvied up around Jarrell Martin or Troy Williams. And Martin would have to play the 3, I would guess, in these scenarios. But that's kind of what they would like to see him do. Anyway, they've used him as a 3 in a few of these lineups this year. So that probably would just continue. Troy Williams, if you're looking for more of a 2 situation, or you want to play a little bit smaller or a little more outside oriented, then you could use him. I think that's kind of how it's going to go with this injury. It's a shame. They'll have to adjust as best they can. But if there's one thing this Grizzly group knows about, it's adjusting to injuries, and they've had to do it so much. So add another one to the list, unfortunately. I wish James Ennis all the best in his recovery. Hope to see him back soon. Okay, so I asked you guys for help, and you guys came through. Absolutely. My many thanks to you. I asked you guys, I said, look, what are you guys thankful for? What are you guys thankful for? If you're a Grizzly fan, you're an observer, media member, whatever it may be, what are you thankful for with regard to the Grizzlies? You guys answer that one. We'll get to that one in a second. First one, though, I asked if you guys had any questions you wanted answered on the pod, and lo and behold, there were a few. As always, you can feel free to send them to me via Twitter at Peter Edmiston, or just shoot me an email, peter@peteredmiston.com. So the cues, and you know, some of you guys are goofballs, right? Like my man Kevin Leip at Flyer Grizz Blog, at Peter Edmiston, why do you hate the Grizzlies? For crying out loud, Kevin. For crying out loud, Kevin. My man Joe Mullinax, similar question. Very funny, guys. I don't I don't need to, you know, if anyone, and for Leip of all people to come in with that take, I'm the guy that's trying to help Leip. Leip's the one that was on this podcast just a few weeks ago, basically all but turning heel, all but ripping the shirt off and showing the NWO underneath, all but insulting personally each and every listener to this podcast. So for Leip to come through with that is pretty damn rich, in my opinion. Now, another question for me. Our friends at Fast Break Breakfast, I like those guys a lot, at Fast Break Break, say, can you find uses for the phrase, we'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks in your personal life? Well, absolutely. Like, right out of the gate, anybody who's in a relationship that isn't going so well, I think you should be able to tell. I mean, you know, everyone's been there. You're in college or whatever. You know, I mean, heck, you could be in your, you could be a well past college, but I associate that with college. But you're having a relationship that's not going so well. You're dating somebody. I think you should be able to drop a, you know, let's reevaluate this thing in 2 weeks. Let's take a look at it again. In 2 weeks, see where we're at, and go from there. Without a doubt, that's a winner. It's a great observation. Thank you, Fast Break Breakfast. Our friend Brandon at Ball from Grace, who writes for the crew over at Grizzly Bear Blues, he says, does Chandler Parsons actually have the Black Plague? The answer, sadly, is yes. He'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. And then finally, the legitimate question of the day from Memphicity Design, I like to say that, at Memphicity Dezig. That's a Twitter thing. DESIG, Memphicity Dezig. Question: are the Grizzlies looking for a backup point guard, or are they planning to roll with Andrew Harrison / Wade Baldwin all season? The answer to that question is they are still looking. They will not, and I don't think you can commit to anything with Harrison and Baldwin right now. Not Andrew Harrison is playing well enough that I don't think that they have to fast track any kind of a trade that they're going to be able to get by right now. But make no mistake, you know, it's one thing to get by in these minutes, and right now they're doing that, but it's another thing to thrive. They're not doing that yet, and probably won't this year with Andrew Harrison or Wade Baldwin. So if they really want to get production, big-time production out of those minutes, they're going to have to look elsewhere. They're going to have to open up that search, and they're going to have to do something else. So as far as I know, nothing necessarily is imminent, but I do believe they are still kicking the tires on a lot of different options with regard to backup point guard. Thank you very much for the question. And speaking of thank yous, I asked you guys point blank, you know, what were you guys thankful for this year? If you're a Grizzly fan, you're an observer, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you have some kind of connection with the Grizzlies. What is it exactly that you guys are thankful for? Great responses here. Overwhelming responses here. And a lot of them with a similar theme. But I'm going to get to as many as I possibly can because you guys did a really good job. There were a couple themes that jumped out right out of the gate. Number one was, a lot of people were thankful for David Fizdale and what's happening with this team. Ralph Morgan, at Ralph Morgan 13, just says, simply put, Coach Fiz. Mike, at Mike 12983, David MFing Fizdale. Disclaimer, he says, MFing is his middle name. I'm gonna check that. I don't know if that's true. I'm going to ask David about that. I'm going to ask David Fizdale about that very thing. Is your middle name really MFN? With the apostrophe? M? apostrophe effin. That's the way Mike 12983 writes it. Is that really true? We'll see. But Mike is one of many who has put him out there. Grizz Granny, at Grizz Granny. Thank you for listening, Grizz Granny. She says, I think we got a gym in Coach Fizz. She's also thankful for having Mark and Mike back with the guys being healthy. Along those same lines, Curtis Moore, who is at Curtis D. Moore 86, says thankful for Mark and Mike that they're healthy and playing well. Think that's certainly true. Grizz Tony, at Grizz Tony, says very thankful we have a majority owner willing to spend money to maintain this franchise's winning tradition the past 5 years. Payroll is very high this year. There's no question about that. Robert Pera is spending some serious cash. My man Cullen, at Cullen 4, says thankful Conley chose to stay, but more so that we even have an NBA team in our city to enjoy and fret over. That was another theme that went throughout this. Sharon Richardson, at SK Squeaky, just to have an NBA team in Memphis and our core four still together. At Kevin Young, Kevin HFY, who of course is a part of the team over at Grizzly Bear Blues at SBN Grizzlies and writes for Hardwood Paroxysm as well. Kevin does a great job. He says you could cut this a bunch of different ways, but mostly just thankful that the games are fun. It's pretty great. He says that the games are fun. Yeah, these games are really fun. They could have gone a lot of different directions with this group. That's worth being thankful for. These games are fun. At HRay KB24, that's Hunter Ray, says thankful for Mike Conley letting it fly. At Aaron Cole OF870, could be at Aaron Cole of 870, the area code. Could be. Probably is. We're getting to the point where this is a little bit like trying to interpret license plates, vanity plates. But anyway, Aaron Cole says, most thankful Parsons not playing isn't hurting the team. That Andrew Harrison is playing well and that Mike is playing fantastic. Our friend Brandon, the aforementioned Brandon, at Ball from Grace, says, as an early supporter of Andrew Harrison, I'm thankful he's actually hashtag not bad. Michael Brown at Go Grizz, that's GEAUX Grizz, says thankful for Marc Gasol's celebrations. Boy, amen to that. Making this season a lot of fun. John Maddox at Tiger John M says thankful that despite changing how we play, still feel like this team identifies with the city. I think that's well put. There's no question that this thing could have gone in many different directions. But the group that's together, the group that has here, they do seem to get it. The core four, without question, get it. And they still have a deep and abiding connection to the city of Memphis. And you could change the personnel around them, but that part hasn't changed. And that is valuable. That is really, really valuable. I don't know that we've ever touched on it on the podcast before. I've talked about it on my radio show. The value of that versus, you know, winning a title and all that. I just think that the part of sports, you know, it's something that it's hard to quantify, and it's not the pure pursuit of a championship. When you keep a core group like this together, a group that honestly you know in your heart of hearts is probably, for various reasons, not quite capable of winning a championship, not without some serious help. But is that really the point? Is it simply to win a title? Or is it to stay together and to grow as a group and to just get the pure enjoyment of watching them play? And maybe you get lucky and maybe you catch a break and maybe you win a title. But is that the be-all, end-all? And I would argue that it isn't. There's so many games, there's so many seasons, there's so many reasons why all of us enjoy sports and follow sports, cover sports, whatever it may be. While you're listening to this podcast, it isn't strictly about wins and losses, or it probably isn't for most of you. There are many reasons behind it. So that core group, the fact that they're still part of the city that they still get it. It's valuable. It's very rare in professional sports to have this. And I think those of you that said that you appreciate that, I'm with you. I think it's very special and it's worth celebrating. For my part, wrapping up this segment, I do want to say thank you to all of you guys for continuing to help this podcast grow and get better. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your feedback. Thank you for being part of it. I could not ask for better listeners, and I appreciate all of you. I'd like there to be even more as we continue to grow this thing. So please help with that. But thank you again for everything that you guys have done. Thank you for listening. It's really awesome to hear from all of you guys. Last thing before we say goodbye to this edition of Locked On Grizzlies, it is time for the 3Q preview of the Philadelphia 76ers. Tonight, it is Grizzlies and Sixers up in Philly. This one will be relatively short because if you can't hear already, my voice is really struggling. Got a super sore throat, got a cold, my son is sick, he seems to have passed it to me. So I'm struggling. I will do my best to get through this as quickly as I can. Question number one. Have you noticed the Sixers kind of aren't that bad right now? Sixers won two straight ball games. Their last two, ladies and gentlemen. That's a winning streak. That's what they call a winning streak. It's from Major League. Love that movie. And how about this streak? The Sixers have won three straight at home. Do you know when they got their third home win last year? January 16th. Listen, it's November 23rd, Jack. That's right. That's what it is. This is a team that's gotten that third win 2 months ahead of schedule. Or at least 2 months ahead of last year. They didn't have their third win, period, until December 30th. That was their 37th game. They were 3-34. They're better. They're not great, but they're better. A lot better. And they will be a different sort of challenge for the Grizzlies. And heck, if you remember last year, the Grizzlies tried their damnedest to lose that game in Philly. Furious comeback, and the Grizzlies ultimately won it, but they did not look good for a long, long time. Speaking of which, the Sixers being kind of not that bad, Joel Embiid continues to be worth watching. How about this, for those of you that are advanced stats people, he's true shooting percentage 60.6%. 60.6%, while his usage is through the roof, 38.2%. That means he is the finisher. He uses 38.2% of their possessions when he's out there. That is an absurdly high number. For comparison, Zach Randolph hovers around 30% when he's out there for the Grizzlies. And you can tell, you know, when Zach's on the floor, he gets a lot of action. Embiid is the center of attention when he's on the floor, but he also has fouls out the wazoo. But his, you know, per 48-minute numbers are crazy. It's something like 30 and 12. Tons of, you know, I mean, all kinds of different activities out there, including turnovers. He's very, very active. Things happen when Joel Embiid's on the floor. Good things, bad things, lots of things, period. Question number two. What does the new rotation look like without James Ennis? We alluded to this earlier and discussed some of the options, but I want to know when it actually goes down tonight in Philly. What does that look like? Does that mean a little extra for some of the young guys? Does that mean, I mean, it's going to have to, right? There's only so much slack that Vince Carter can pick up. There's only so much slack that Zach Randolph can pick up. It's going to mean something for the young guys. Who gets those extra 15 or so minutes? Will it be Jarrell Martin? It might be Jarrell Martin tonight because of the size that Philadelphia has to offer. Will it be Troy Williams? Possibly. Could it be Deonte Davis? I think maybe. Davis, I will tell you, I continue to ask the Grizzlies, please continue to develop this guy. Don't make it stop start. Keep developing him. He is going to be worth it. And you can already see in his limited minutes out there, the things that he can do that no other Grizzly player has been able to do in quite some time. Keep developing this guy. But I want to know what the new rotation actually looks like in execution. We'll see that for the first time tonight. Finally, number three, can Mike Conley continue this incredible start that he is on? And he has been scoring at a tremendous rate. And how about this? So Mike Conley, in his career, has scored over 30 points or 30 or more points in a game 8 times. So he's at that 30-point mark 8 times. Of course, you know, one of the times was Monday against the Hornets. The other two this year have been against the Clippers. So 3 of the 8 times Mike Conley scored over 30 points in a game have been this season. And this season is still very, very fresh. You know, 2 of the times that he scored over 30 points have come against Philadelphia. So that's fully 25% of his 20-point games have come against Philly. So I think the odds, just purely by those kinds of happenstances that will coincide, I think you have a real good opportunity to see Mike Conley torch the Sixers and continue this incredibly torrid streak. He is taking full advantage of everything that David Fizdale is asking of him, is opening up this offense to do. He wants to be part of it, and he is thriving. He is thriving. I think he continues his incredible start. And I go back to my introductory podcast with Chris Harrington very early on. I think it was first week of the season, maybe week and a half. Chris would remember. But I kind of outlined why I thought Mike Conley was going to average, you know, 20 or more points per game this year. And the formula has been pretty accurate. He's making a few more threes. He's getting to the foul line a little more often. He's just taking advantage of the extra space that's out there on the floor, you know, with staggering Zach and Marcus Gasol. It's really allowed for that the lane to be a lot more open. And that has helped Mike tremendously. It's given him much more freedom to work, and as a result, it's also allowed him to be used off the ball in a catch and shoot capacity a little bit more often. That's also taken full advantage of his shooting. So everything really works well for Mike. I think he continues his incredible start. We'll see if he can do it again against Philadelphia. Speaking of Chris Harrington, his piece today was excellent. And if you didn't read it, check it out. It was published, I guess, yesterday afternoon, technically, but it's still well worth the checking out. The pick and pop for this week. Lots of good stuff there. You're going to want to check out his stuff. Also, I want to give a big shout to the folks over at the Grizzly Bear Blues blog, because they are putting out some awesome stuff of late. And I think, you know, big hat tip to all of those men and women over there that are doing a great job consistently. They really do an awesome job. Big thanks to them. Kevin Leip also with some really good stuff and some unusually positive stuff, right, Kevin, that he's put out after the game on Monday. So check all that out. I think we're living in a very special time. If you're a Grizzly fan, there's lots of really good content to enjoy over this long holiday weekend. And also I'll remind you again, as I did earlier, if you want to check out my numbers game, which should drop on the Commercial Appeal website this morning, and in print on Thanksgiving Day. So take it and, you know, share it with your family. I think that's one of the great things to do. As you guys are arguing over politics, just say, listen, guys, let's not talk politics for just a second. Let's talk about Peter's article. That's a great way to bring families together. It's my little gift to each of you guys. Again, thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the podcast. Get in touch with me if you want, at Peter Edmiston. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. We'll be back after the holiday is over to discuss many, many things here. But until then, have a great Thanksgiving. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.